You have your Bibles, and go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And so, I'm not sure if the slide's going to work or not. It'll work? Okay. I ain't know. We're going to be looking here. The title here is Biblical Marriage. Alright? So, let's read verse 1 and I'll give you an introduction here. It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, and in any obey not the word, that also ye may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, you know, politically, and even in church now, that verse just don't go over very well anymore, okay? And when you say a wife is supposed to submit, I'm already like, man, I don't really want to preach that. Not because I think it's not true, but I just know most people don't accept that. That is a truth, okay? Secondly, on the topic of marriage, you know, I've been in services where a young guy preached on marriage. I know what all the older people do. They snicker and they roll their eyes. And I understand why. It's the idea that you've not been where you're at. And I know most of the time, the longer you live life, the more you know, okay? But I was telling Brother Mike, actually, in the group, is that what I want to do today is what's great about preaching the Word of God, and the Word of God's right. So if I preach on marriage and I back it up with the Bible, then guess what? I'm right. Ha. No, I'm just kidding. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, that thing, so it doesn't matter how long you've been married or, you know, or what your opinion about women's rights are and all of that. You know, the bottom line, if I preach the Bible, if I say, thus says the Lord, then I'm right and you're wrong if you don't agree with it, if I back it up correctly with the Word of God. But at the same time, my personality is I'm the type of person, you know, if you got medicine, I just force feed you, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the type of person, you know, you're going to take this, don't matter, it's what you need. Well, and that's good sometimes, but it's easy to do that. And that's not my attitude today, okay? Basically, what we're going to talk about is how to have a biblical marriage, okay? And the one thing, the key, if you remember what we've been talking about, is the word submission, okay? And what I'm going to say it now. What you're going to see, and what the text teaches really from verse 1 to verse 7, is that submission has to be a vital role, or is a vital role, in a biblical marriage. Now, that submission is a two-way street. Okay, I'm going to tell you right now, basically what we're going to get to, is that the wife is to submit to the commands of the husband is to submit to the needs of the wife. I'm the husband, so I think the husband part's harder. Okay, and what I mean by that is that a husband is supposed to find out, and you'll see that in verse 7, to dwell with them according to knowledge. That means to study them. So it's my job as a husband to know my wife, know what she needs, and then submit to her needs more than my wants. That's pretty hard to do. That means if she really needs me just to watch TV with her, instead of going fishing, I'm supposed to submit to that. That's pretty hard. Okay, so I want you, so my point, I say all that, not to get ahead of myself, but I don't want you to get your guard up, okay? Because submission is a two-way street, and we're going to learn about that. And all of it goes back to the submission to God's commands. Okay? So anyway, so that's what we've looked at. So what I want to do, I don't think I'm going to get past my point one. Point one is really an introduction. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you can go ahead and put it up there. The structure of marriage. We're going to look at two things. The structure of marriage, and point two is going to be the submission of marriage. And under that, we're going to look at the submission to the wife, and the submission of the husband. And that's it. But now it's going to take probably 3 weeks. Okay? Because as I look here, I don't think we'll get past point number one. Here's the thing. The reason I want to start with this is that we need to get the right ideal of marriage and the right, you ever heard that thing, know your role? You know your role, especially in football or basketball. If you don't shoot three-pointers, you don't need to be shooting three-pointers, and they'll say you need to know your role. And I think one thing, we know what the real structure of marriage is. And it is not culturally accepted now. And it's not even accepted in most Christian homes today. But let's look here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Okay? Because we're going to have to go to Ephesians to look at the structure of marriage. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get past point one, but that's okay. Okay, so Ephesians. If I can find Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And so the letter A, we're going to look at the details, okay? The details of this structure. Okay, so it says here, look at verse 23, we'll look at the husband first. And it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Okay, so here's the role. Ready? He's the leader. Okay, now here's the problem. There's a lot of families, a lot of homes where the husband don't lead, nor does the wife let him lead. Okay, so there's some guys who the husband don't take the role they're supposed to, and shame on you. But there's also sometimes when the wife won't let the husband lead, shame on you. So here's the structure. The husband is the leader. You may not like that, and if it just gets put in the newspaper, I'll be getting hate mail for a month probably. But the husband is the head of the house. Okay, that's biblical. Alright, but what is his responsibility? Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself, for no man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. Okay? So the responsibility is he's supposed to love his wife. He's supposed to treat her as himself. And by the way, the problem in marriage, in the structure, is not the plan, but the people in it. Okay? That's the problem. God's got a great plan if we follow it. But because of sin and selfishness in the flesh, that's what messes all this up. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If the wife would listen, and follow. Let's say follow, either word, say follow. But then if the husband actually loved his wife as himself, okay? And I know what you're thinking, well, you don't do that. I'm going to say this about this, okay? I do fail. I fail it all the time. My inconsistency in my own life doesn't change the fact that I'm right. That's what a lot of people do. They sit in church and say, well, you do this, you do that, and that may be true. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm right now. And you using my failures and excuse not to follow the Bible is just as wrong, okay? All right, just throw that out. That's in any sermon I preach. Yes, it is easier to preach 10 sermons than to practice one. But my shortcoming don't change the fact that I'm right. Okay? If it's backed up with Bible. Okay, so here's the wife. Let's look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. So her role. Here's her role. You ready? To follow. You ever played follow the leader? I mean, common sense tells you to only be one leader. You know, we've heard the saying, there's too many chiefs, not enough Indians. There can only be one chief in any house, and I'm sorry that's how it's built. I'm not really sorry, it's God's plan. God planned for you, for the chief to be the husband, and for the follower to be the wife. Now that's the structure. And right now, see, before we get any further, if you don't like the structure, then you're not gonna like anything I say today. And it's not gonna help you at all. Okay? So you need to understand that. So what's her responsibility? Well, number one, to submit. Okay? But then, look at verse 33. It's also to respect. Okay? It is to respect. Look, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Nevertheless, let every one of you participate so love his wife even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Huh. You're not commanded, it actually doesn't say that you are commanded to love your husband. He says you're supposed to respect. You're supposed to respect, you're supposed to reverence. Now, what does that mean? Well, that's going to letter B. And we see the desires, okay? Letter B is the desires. Now, and this is what we get into something, and I'm going to endorse this, or not endorse it, but there's a book called Love and Respect. By the way, if you want to help your marriage, the boots are nice, they don't help. No, I'm just kidding. They always sound good on paper, let me tell you that. You know, it always sounds good when you're reading it. I got all the problems figured out when I read a book. Then putting it into practice is different. But love and respect. Then what it says, the title, the love she most desires, the respect he desperately needs. See, let me tell you something. And I'm going to be a little psychology here. But we're going to base it off that verse I just read. Wives want to be loved. I mean, I've not been married very long, but my wife, I can do a lot of things. But if he says something like, do you love me? And I've said this before, aggravating. Well, I mean, I have to love you. I'm married to you. That just hurt. I mean, even if I'm joking, that just bothers her so much. Why? Well, because here's the thing, and it's a little psychology, but it's backed up with Bible. It's a Christian book. If you read the book, women won't be loved. Okay? I mean, that's the bottom line. That's why, you know, there's some, that's why Hallmark appeal to women, not men. They want to be loved. Okay? And we all understand that. I mean, that concept is pretty easy to understand. But, and that is why God commanded the man to love his wife. Because in a marriage, what a woman wants, according to this book, according to the Word of God, is love. And it's not even amazing God commanded it. So God might know what he's talking about. Think he might know what he's saying. But what does the husband want? And anyway, a lot in this book and this verse, and you have to ask yourself, why did it say that? Why did verse 33, does it say that she should reverence her husband? Why did it say that? And by the way, get what it says in the ESV. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Okay, so Paul said, husband, you love your wife. Wife, you respect your husband. Why? Well, once again, I don't know that's what the Word of God said, but as I've read this book and things like that, here's what a husband and men in general, they want respect. They need respect. And I will quote what it said in this book. The way to fully love a husband is to respect him in ways that are meaningful to him. Respect does something to the soul of a man. God knows that. That's why God commanded it. God has commanded that a wife is to reverence or respect her husband. Now, I'm going to give you something in this book. 400 men were surveyed to choose between A or B. And letter A is this. To be left alone and unloved in the world. Or B. To feel inadequate and disrespected in the world. Do you know what 74% of the men chose out of two? They chose that they rather feel alone and unloved than disrespected. I mean, okay, so do you know the original Franklin song on R-E-S-P-E-C-T? Respect? Do you know that actually was written by a man and released by Otis Redding 2 years before she sang it? A man wrote R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Why? Because this is whether it's marriage, at work, on the ball field, fishing, men want to be respected. And then what wives are going to say? Well, they're just proud. Well, you know what men say about women who want to be loved? They're just being wimpy. You see? It's not neither nor. It's not pride. It's not being wimpy. It's that women need love. Men need respect. And this verse commands this. Here's the thing, some of you are not going to like this, but men want to be respected, and the Bible commands it. You say, I don't like that. Well, to have a wonderful marriage, respect for the man is vital, as love is for the wife. Bottom line. If the two are not fulfilled, there's a crazy cycle that begins. And I'm going to, that's what I'm talking about. It says this, if you don't, what happens a lot of times, and I've seen this to be true in my own marriage. When a woman doesn't feel loved, she responds in disrespect. And I like psychology, by the way. I read a lot of psychology books. If I would get my master, I'd probably get it in counseling or psychology. Anyway, so that kind of just lets you know. But when a man doesn't love his wife, the wife usually responds in disrespect. When a man feels disrespected, he responds in an unloving way. And it's a crazy cycle. So what happens? I disrespect, or I unlove, she disrespect. Because she disrespect, I don't love. Because, you know, and then it keeps going on and on and on. Somebody has to break that cycle. Okay? And that's the thing. So what happened is that, and by the way, you say, well, is this biblical? Well, look at verse 33 again. He said, nevertheless, let one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see it, she reverence her husband. It's right there in the Word of God. And it said, wife, you ought to respect your husband, and husband, you ought to love your wife. Yes, it is biblical. Here's the thing. A wife is to obey the command to love, even if his wife doesn't obey the command to respect. And a wife is to obey the command of respect, even if the husband don't obey the command to love. That's the thing. No matter what's going on right now, if you're a wife, you are commanded to respect your husband, no matter what he does. Husband, you are commanded to love your wife, even if she doesn't respect you. And I'll be honest with you. That's what happens when I get up, when I don't love my wife, and it's because, and when it becomes hard, it doesn't matter if she's doing what I think is right or not. I'm supposed to love her. The wife's supposed to respect. That is, now you say this. What does that have to do with submission? Well, wives, for you to obey the command of God to give your husband respect that he desperately needs, it's going to require you to submit. Husbands, for you to obey the command of God to give your wife the love that she most desires, it's going to require you to submit. Let's be honest. I mean, as a husband, there's times when I don't submit to this command because of what my wife's doing. I mean, maybe sometimes it's just something stupid, you know, something petty. But then it's like, well, I'm not going to love you. No, that's when I'm supposed to submit. And that's why I say it's just the submission in marriage is a two-way street, okay? A wife is to submit to the leadership of her husband, but a wife is to submit to the needs of the wife. All of this is to help us understand what Satan is trying his best to destroy, that men and women are different, have different abilities, different roles, different functions, and most importantly, different needs. I will submit my wants and love my wife when I realize that it's a need for her. The same is true for the wife. She will submit to the guidance of her husband when she realizes that that respect is a need. You say, well, I don't like that. You say, you don't have to like it, but that's what Ephesians chapter 5 verse 33 teaches. It teaches that a husband is supposed to love his wife and that the wife is to respect her husband. And I'm going to say, I think somewhere later, but I'm going to say it now because I'm not going to get to the next point. Well, we can. Let me see. Well, we'll just keep rolling and then we'll see. So now that's the introduction. Now we're going to move. And by the way, this is, I want you to see what we're going to preach on. Letter A is what I'm supposed to do today, but I'm not through all that. And next week should be letter B. So we're going to talk about the wife now. Okay, but we're going to get to the husband too, okay? Don't trust me. Let's look here at to understand the submission of marriage. Letter A. Instructions to submit as a wife. Okay. Obviously. And let's go back to 1 Peter. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. Now we have the foundation built of the roles and the structure of marriage. Now let's look at submission in detail. Now, you may ask this. If you look, verses 1 through 6 is to the wife, and verse 7 is to the husband. Why is that? You want to know why? Because the wife needs more work. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just kidding, all right? The difference, most likely, is the context. The difference here reflects the probability that there are many wives who have unsaved husbands. It does a greater need of instruction. It would not be so likely in that day and age for a husband to be saved and the wife not. Because what happened with the husband, you did what the husband did, basically, okay? And so there probably are most likely a lot of wives in this church, the people he's talking to, who have unsaved husbands, okay? So it's not that the need is greater, it's just the audience. And most likely when he's writing, there's going to be a lot of Christian women who have unsaved husbands. And so that's why he talks about this. So, the instructions to submit as a wife have three things that I want to look at. Number one, to help you as a wife understand submission. Number one, if you're going to submit as a wife, you have to receive the instructions, okay? So this is going to be our main point for today, basically. Your three-point outline of this series, and then we'll go to next week. Receive the instructions. Number one, in verse one, it says, likewise, ye husbands, be in subjection, okay? Here's the bottom line. You don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. What matters, not what you think, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what CNN says, doesn't matter what book you read of the psychology from unsaved people. The bottom line is that a wife is to submit and be in subjection to her husband, and that is a command. Goes all the way back to verse 13. The word submit is an imperative. And this word in subjection is the same word and is a participle that is being used as an imperative. And so here's the thing. For you as a wife, Sorry that I'm not a wife today. I mean, I know it probably come better from a female thinking right now. But as a wife, for you to ever submit to your husband, you have to receive the instruction. And the instruction is, it is a command. You may say this, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to follow my husband. Then why did you get married? If your attitude is, I'm not going to have to listen to him, I'm not going to follow him, then why did you get married? I mean, I'll be honest, I was joking. I like to joke, obviously. I probably joke too much. But I was saying something to my sister, you know, about something about my wife, like she drive me crazy or something like that, you know, just joking around. And she said, why did you marry her? I said, well, you shouldn't got married. But I just want to, But she's right. Like, if you don't want to follow your husband, why did you get married? Now, you may say, well, I didn't know that. Well, you might be right, you might not understand. But if you don't want to follow your husband, you want to be like a continual thorn in the flesh to him and go against everything he guides you to do, why did you get married? By the way, he's talking to unsaved men. How much more do you submit if you have a husband who loves you and is saved? Like that. Once again, go back to submission and not that. Not to submit based off, well, he's not loving me like he should. It's not a valid reason not to submit. That goes back to 2 weeks ago. You know, for a wife to ever display submission, she must first receive the instruction, and that submission is a command. Here's the thing. By the way, this is what happened. And they say that, well, I would submit if I was the leader. Why do I have to submit? Because the leader, the husband can do everything he wants to. He's the leader. Well, I can only speak for myself, but as a leader of my house, and by the way, my wife did a great job of letting me lead. Dr. Randy Cox said this, you'll never make a woman follow, and you'll never make a church follow like that. You only follow me if you let me follow or lead. You can never make someone lead. You can never make someone follow. And my wife didn't do that. She's very, she says I never compliment her, so I'm going to compliment her right now. She does a great job of letting me lead. But just as the leader, I don't always get what I want. Just because I'm the one in charge doesn't mean I get what I want. And I think so that what happens sometimes is wives say, well, of course he happy because he can't do what he wants. A husband who truly loves his wife don't always do what he wants. Anyway, that's a little side note there. But here's the thing, is that you have to understand that submission I'm skipping some stuff, by the way. I'm trying to peruse through. So I'm going to go ahead and get the second thing here. You have to understand that it is a command. I already said this, but I'm going to say it again because I got ahead of myself. Peter is writing. Now think about this. He's telling them to submit. He's telling them to submit to people who are not saved. And it said there in verse 1, if any obey not the word, and also may be one without the word. What that means is that these husbands are unconverted. So he's saying, I want your wife to submit to an unconverted husband. By the way, back then, if the wife followed a different religion, it would have been very embarrassing for the wife. I mean, for the husband. Most likely, if a husband had a saved wife back then, he would have most likely resented her. He would despise it. I can't believe you go to church. I can't believe you do that. And he's saying, submit to that type of person. So just because your husband don't do exactly what you want, it's not an excuse for you not to submit. And we'll get to the husband too, okay? Trust me. But, you know, like that, Peter didn't say, go get a divorce. Go straighten him out. You know, he didn't say, you don't do anything for him until he learns his lesson. I'm going to teach my husband a lesson. That's not what he says do. He just submit to him. In a world that teaches for both husband and wife to leave a marriage over the littlest thing, this is a really sobering thought. The sobering thought is that we as husbands and wives both all to submit even when the other's not doing perfect. Like, I'm supposed to love my wife even when she's not perfect. And a wife's supposed to respect her husband or submit to her husband even when he's not perfect. And that's the way we live now. Well, she's not perfect. He's not perfect. I'm out of here. No, that's the opposite. Submit. Remember, mistreatment isn't a valid excuse not to submit in your marriage, whether you're a husband or a wife. Remember that. Mistreatment is not, and I'm glad it's not. Because if you're like me, I make a lot of mistakes. If mistreatment or not doing what was right was a valid excuse to leave the marriage, then my wife could have a lot of reasons to already leave. Because we're not perfect. None of us are. Number two, you need to realize the compensation. Number two, realize the compensation. See, there's compensations for you benefiting and for you submitting to your husband. By the way, I've already said this, but if you respect, if you submit, that shows respect, and your husband will most likely love you. That's already a benefit there. But in the tent, there's two things that we see, and that a submission allows you to become a part of your husband's spiritual growth. Look at verse 1 again. And any obey not the word, that they also may be won, or without the word, be won by the conversation of their wives. So what it says here is that when they see respectful and pure conduct, talk about the husband, and when they see that the wife is being respectful and submitting, then it may win them to Jesus Christ. The compensation is that the unsaved husband could get saved. Now, let's just talk about that for a minute. Well, if that's true of an unsaved person, don't you think it's true of a saved person or a saved husband? That, you know, I wrote this down. If I act unbiblical, and I do, you know, toward my wife, the last thing I need for her to do is to act unbiblical too. Right? You know, truthfully, you know what convinces me quicker than anything? It is if I do something unbiblical and my wife turns around and is still biblical toward me. Woo! See, submission will aid in your husband's spiritual growth. Submission as a husband will aid in spiritual growth. The last thing we need, you know, two wrongs don't make a right, remember? Well, two wrongs are not going to help anything. What can help in your marriage is that if one messes up and doesn't do what they're supposed to do, and they don't submit to God, and for not, you know, what would they, well, if you're going to mess up, I'm going to mess up. Well, that don't make any sense, does it? So here's the thing. And that's what I'm saying. It's both the husband and wife. And the principle here is that it says here that the wife can see her husband come to the saving knowledge of Christ simply by how she surrenders and respects her husband. Well, how great could that be if we do that even in the saved home? And it goes both ways like that. You know how you're going to know how I'm going to hinder my wife the most? And when I treat her unbiblically. The way you're going to hinder your husband if you respond unbiblically. And even when he is. Submission, and we'll probably stop here. Submission not only allows you to become a part of your husband's spiritual growth, but it also allows you to become a wife of true beauty. And that's what I want to look at. And it's the compensation. Number one, you help your husband grow spiritually. And secondly, you're compensated when you submit, you are truly beautiful. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 3 and 4. Whom adorning? Let it not be of the outward adorning and plaiting of the hair, and the wearing of the gold, and putting on apparel. But let it be the hidden man, which that could be a hidden person. Not the anthropos, which just means person, okay? So it's the hidden man of the heart, and we is not corruptible, even an ornament of meekness and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God and great pride. So what it's saying here is true beauty is not outward, but inward. Now, let me just take a little time out. This is not a statement not to wear makeup, okay? I had a guy tell me, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to get in trouble if I say that with the women. I'm not going to say that. But, you know, it's a funny joke, but yeah, I won't do it. Anyway, it's clean, okay, so don't. People who take that verse and say, you're not supposed to wear makeup, you're not supposed to wear jewelry, they're missing the point. The point here is that he's saying you need to be more focused on the inward than on the outward. So, you're just as wrong if you spend 10 hours in front of the mirror getting ready as you are, you don't put anything on. And you say, well, I'm more spiritual because I didn't wear any makeup. What's both people doing? Focusing on the outward. If you preach that this is about not wearing jewelry, you're missing the point in the passage. He's not saying you shouldn't wear makeup. He's saying that it shouldn't be a priority over the inward. True beauty is inward. And then let it be the hidden man of the heart, the hidden person of the heart. The wife should care more about the beauty on the inside than she is on the outside. That's what he's saying. It's not that you shouldn't wear makeup. Some need makeup, okay? You know, that's all I'm saying. You know, some people need makeup, you know. Like that. I'm so tempted to tell my little joke, but I'm not going to. Anyway, true beauty is action that please God. Look at verse 4. It says, "We is in the sight of God of great price." So, what God looks down, he's got an inward beauty. You know what he says? He says, that person is truly beautiful. Well, what is that? What makes you truly beautiful? Meekness, he says there. Ornament of meekness and quiet spirit. Meek means humble or close to humble. Quiet spirit means that she reacts quietly. In other words, submission. A truly beautiful woman is one who is humble and quiet and submits to God and her husband. Any woman can achieve this beauty. This beauty, I need the quote by the way, this beauty is available to all women and much deeper and more valued by God. This beautiful character is described as having a gentle and quiet spirit. Let me ask you, are you beautiful to God? Woman or man? By the way, if God thinks that a humble woman is a beautiful person, then guess what God thinks about man, a humble person as well. See, this applies to both. Humility, submission is what makes you beautiful to God. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to be real candid. Submission makes you a beautiful woman to a man. You say, what do you mean? I'm going to let you into a man's world. You, if you're with a bunch of men, and there's a wife who comes up and puts her husband in her place, all men like this. And then they walk away and say, I'm glad I'm not married to her. And the husband of that wife is thinking the same thing. If you embarrass your husband, you just lost. You say, well, that's not right. I'm just telling you. I mean, I know a joke, I'm not sure. There was a wife who came out and told her husband, said, 5 minutes. We're leaving in 5 minutes. She walked back in, and in 5 minutes, they left. And that has been a running joke for years. We go around 5 minutes. Why? Because what happened was she ran the relationship, and she bossed him around, and that's not attractive to anybody. No matter how good you look physically. This is what we do. You know, I mean, like that. You can say what you want to. Why is that? Because what men want is respect. And therefore, one of the most beautiful things you can do for your husband is respect him. Don't embarrass him. Don't boss him around. Don't put him in his place. Now, he may not say anything, and he may go with the flow, but deep down, he's resenting you. And what's going to happen, he's not going to love you like he should, because he is in the flesh. And then you're not going to be loved, and so you're not going to get loved, and it's a crazy cycle. Love and respect. I mean, I'm just telling you, say what you want to, my husband don't care. Yeah, he does. Men find women who will submit attractive. I mean, I don't know where it's at, but, you know, I think it's right here. You know, I'll just give you an example. My wife does really good. Another thing she does, because she does good about giving me notes, telling me how much she loves me, things like that, you know. I like them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you know. But you know, one of the things that makes me really proud of my wife is if I'm with a group, and, you know, she fixes my plate for me. Or she brings me a cup of drink. And I say, hey, babe, you might go get me something to drink. And she does that in front of people. You know why? You know, because my wife respected me. And that means my wife can fix me a drink and bring it to me in front of people. And that means more. That makes me feel loved more than her writing me a love note. And the women, you're like, that don't make any sense. It's not the way you're made. You can say what you want. But that I'm telling you. I mean, I remember my best friend, when his wife, when they were dating, you know, she fixed his plate, and I remember him talking about that all day long, like, you know, and all the other girls were like, why didn't he fix his plate? And why? Well, why did he like it so much? Because it showed that she respected him. And I'm telling you, what meant, go back, you said, what is this about? And it said there, a truly beautiful woman, the compensation. If you're alone in this, it makes you truly beautiful to your husband and to God if you'll submit. So number 3 was Haitian right here. And that for you to submit, you know, number 1, you got notes, it's an instruction. Number 2, realize the compensation. It help you submitting can help your husband grow spiritually, and it's gonna make you truly beautiful. And then number 3, reflect on the illustration. Okay? And that is in verse 5 and 6, for after this manner In the old time, the holy women also trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husband. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid of any amazement. So we see here, Sarah was submissive in her actions. She obeyed God. She listened to Abraham. She was submissive in her attitude. She called him Lord. You say, what does that mean? We're not really sure. And we can go off on it, you know, but this is what it really means. Perhaps it would be better to conclude that Peter did not have one particular incident in mind, but rather was thinking about Sarah's overall attitude to married life. You say, what's that? Sarah was a submissive wife, meant she did what a husband needed, really. Her attitude was this: how can I help my husband? If you want to know how a submissive wife acts, look at Sarah. She desired to help her husband. And she did that by listening, not by bossing him around. Bottom line. Which is exactly what a wife is to do. God created Eve to be what? A help meet. I'm afraid many wives are hurting their husband more than helping, because they refuse to submit to God's command to submission in marriage. However, listen here, don't get mad at me. I'm afraid that many husbands are hurting their wives because they refuse to submit to God's command, submit in the marriage, which we'll talk about next week. Here's the thing. Marriage requires submission for both the husband and the wife. This morning we looked at the wife. The way to be a better wife is to submit and fulfill your role. And that is, and to help you do that, receive the instructions. Submission is a command. That's what to do. Realize the compensation. Why do it? Because it'll help your husband grow spiritually, and it'll make you truly beautiful to God, but also to your husband. And then number three, reflect on the illustration, how to do it. Look at Sarah's life. Look at the Old Testament women. And today, that is what I want to talk to you about. It's submission. And in particular, the structure and the submission to the wife. But next week, we're going to talk about submission to the husband. And here's the thing. It's a two-way street. And let's stand for a minute. And the piano player comes up. If you're like me, I think this morning, I think not just for the wife. I did this on purpose. I think I also applied it to the husband today as well. A lot of things that we apply to the wife can be applied to the husband. Maybe you're like me. I was convicted already. And if they begin to play, if you are convicted, see, when I preach, hopefully, I try to stay away from opinion. You know, I probably put my opinion a little bit there about respect and, you know, when it comes to your wife, you know, looking beautiful for your wife when you submit, but that is true. But that might be the only thing I said that wasn't backed up with Bible. What I said today about the structure and about submission to the wife and even to the husband already, it's Bible. If you're like me, it may be convicted you. And they begin to play. If you want your marriage to be biblical, it requires submission on both parts. Let's play.